Aaron, how do you have anything you want to say about O.J. Simpson's passing? I know it was like an important figure in your life.
He died?
You didn't know
Aaron!
He died? What?
Hello, and welcome to episode number 552 of the podcast. I'm your host, Max McCoy.
And I'm your other host, Jamie Golden.
The podcast is a show dedicated to delightful idiocy, and we're committed to educating you on things entertaining but do not matter.
To find out more about these topical pursuits, check us out at knoxandjamie.com. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at The Popcast. And we're on Twitter, not known as X, but Twitter at PopcastPod.
Thanks for joining us this week as we are going to be talking pop culture current events.
But before we do that, you guys, our Popcast pop-up merch shop may have closed for the season, but our digital shop remains open. You know, Disney has a vault, so we figured the podcast needed a vault. This digital shop is a space where we bring back old episodes, archive Patreon content, and some fun freebies for your listening pleasure. This includes our box set deep dive of all 8 Harry Potter movies with Aaron sitting in on the cinema side pieces. Plus, we have a Mother's Day bundle of 3 past mom episodes, including the origin story of Don't Waste It, Greg, when a mom was on her deathbed, but in a fun way, I promise. Plus, an Urban Dictionary bundle with 4 episodes, but not the one with Cosby sweater, because obviously, okay? Most importantly, the digital shop is where you can snag a live stream ticket for our Chicago show on June 22nd and watch from the comfort of your home, pants or no pants. And even if you can't watch live, it includes a 10-day replay option. Plus, you get our custom live stream party guide with everything you need to throw the best passy-aggressive party ever. April is National Soft Pretzel Month, but it's also Small Business Month. You already support ours by listening to this episode, but if you'd like to throw in some extra high fives, then head to knoxandjamie.com/shop or click the link in the show notes.
Shrink the Box is back for a brand new season. This is the podcast where we put our favorite fictional TV characters into therapy. Join me, Ben Bailey-Smith, and our brand new psychotherapist, Nimon Metaxas.
Hi, Ben. Yes, this season we're going to be putting the likes of Tommy from Peaky Blinders, Cersei from Game of Thrones on the couch to learn why their behavior creates so much drama.
So make sure you press the follow button to get new episodes as soon as they land on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts. Shrink the Box is a Sony Music Entertainment original podcast.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
All right, Jamie, it's time to do The More You Know.
The More You Know.
Big news week. I know we really want to dig into the Iran-Israel stuff, probably at the end, you know, we'll really like get in there. Before we do, I need to make an apology. I need to make an announcement.
Okay,
so,
let's go.
I'll go apology first. And, you know, you do a weekly podcast. You say a lot of things. Most of it in jest. Sometimes you get something wrong. And sometimes you're not just wrong, but you're so wrong that it hurts people and reflects back poorly on yourself, which is why I want to apologize to all the listeners for ever doubting Travis, Kelce, and Taylor Swift. The love is real. They're together. I saw footage of them at Coachella. He lifted her up. That's big boyfriend energy.
That is big boyfriend energy.
They're probably making babies right now. They're going to get married. The chemistry was real. So I just want to say sorry, everybody. I'm a little slow to get to where y'all are at, but I'm there. I'm there with
everybody. Listen, my favorite image from Coachella was him with her in front of him. So it was Travis, then Taylor. Then in front of Taylor was tiny, tiny little Barry Keoghan.
Yeah. And oh, wow. Really? I didn't even notice him. And then
in front of Barry Keoghan was tinier, littler Sabrina Carpenter. Listen, because they were a little nesting doll of love.
I just, watching that footage and them together, I was like, there's something here. There's, and maybe it wasn't, maybe it
you
was
didn't
fake.
Believe it. You didn't believe it at the games, like all the games they went to and like.
No, there's something about like they're together, back to like her back to his front, not grinding.
Oh, okay.
I'm not saying they were grinding.
Right.
They were close. They were close.
Parts touching. Swimsuit parts were touching other
just
swimsuit
saying.
Parts.
A little making out. I don't know who Dom Doll is. I didn't know Coachella was this weekend. I couldn't tell you where Coachella is on the map. I'm just saying, I saw what I saw, and I know what I know, and they're together, and they're in love.
I do want to say one thing about Coachella. I watched both days, like, performances, and I will say, I will give it to you, no doubt. Listen, I didn't know that they were able to pull it. I was worried when they were like, mid-50s, early-60s, no doubt, is going to try to pull off a performance at Coachella. And they nailed it. Like, really. She's stunning. And they were very charismatic. A lot of those performances were bad. Like, I mean, Lana Del Rey, love you, mean it.
Who already apologized? Good. Did someone already apologize for their performance? They're like, that was not good.
Oh,
remember Frank Ocean
people.
Last year? He didn't do a great job. He was
Grimes left stage.
Grimes
who apologized. Grimes left stage. There was a lot of technical issues. And here's the problem. Beyonce has set such a standard for Coachella main performances that everybody else is like, oh, but I can just go watch this on Netflix. Like, it's so good. But you can tell that a lot of people are like, I found out I was doing this last week. I don't know what to tell. Like, even Suki Waterhouse, she gave birth a month ago to Batman's baby.
What?
And she's up there performing, but phoning it in. Obviously, she has a 4-week-old. Like, it's just the whole thing is... It's too hot. It's in the desert in California. It's in the desert.
That's the apology. The announcement, third book is out now. It's called Go to Bed Angry, an invitation to reconsider everything we think we know about marriage advice. Part one, part two is coming later this year. I almost called it Nose of Marriage Advice because the whole point is like taking weird, generic marriage advice and like pointing out why this is wrong and what we can do to make it better. The exciting part, because I've done this independent style, is I get to decide the pricing. Which it's $15 unless you're a subscriber to my newsletter or your BFOTS. They both get codes for a lesser amount. But even more exciting, I was able to bundle the audio and the ebook together so you don't have to pay for them separately. Get them all, one price, boom, there it is. Just go to knoxbookcore.com. You'll see a pinned post or you can check the show notes this episode. It'll be there. It's just under 100 pages. It's just over 3 hours of audio. And there's weirdly specific and custom art for each chapter. So if you
that's
like AI
cool.
art and that's something you're into, you'll get that too. But yeah, check it out. I had fun making it. If you're married or have thought about marriage or just know about marriage, maybe you should give it a gander and see if you like it.
So for expertise, like background, how long have you been married? Like, because it's going to, you're coming up on
20
a big
years
one.
In July, 20
That's
years.
Great.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't mean I know anything, which I do talk about. That doesn't mean I know anything about it, but I have takes is basically what the book
well,
is.
Well, I get most of my marriage advice from Brooklyn Beckham and his wife, Nicole, but I get it. Like,
maybe one day I'll be on his level. You know, I don't know. Maybe we'll only find out. So check that out. Jamie, do you want to start off with how do we feel about the topic of is love truly dead?
Listen, this came up in my breaking news. This was such a fun notification. So the Golden Bachelor, Gary Turner, who chose Teresa as his final competitor. And then they got married on TV, like almost immediately. Because here's the thing. When you're golden, you got to move things along. Because clock is a tick, 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 tick.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, they did announce on Friday that they are divorcing after 3 months of marriage.
And this calendar year. They were married this calendar year and it's already over.
90 days. They didn't even make it 90 days. Like they didn't get their AARP switched over to like a couple's account. And they are splitting up. My favorite was Jesse Palmer, who is the host of Bachelor Nation franchise things. He said, "My heart is forever with these two beautiful souls. I am eternally grateful to have gotten to know Gary and Teresa and to have been a small part of their journey.
Of their 3 month journey." And in the write up that, you know, I read like an Indie Star, a Deadline, a couple of different ones. The point of contention, and Jamie, maybe you found something different, was like they like a couple nights in a row, they looked for houses and like where they'd want to live together.
Yeah.
Couldn't figure it out and then just threw in the towel. No, it's too hard.
That's how I've done every relationship. When somebody is like, "Should we live together?" I'm like, "Oh, we're breaking up. Did you not know?"
Yeah.
Like, we're breaking up. Because I think when you're like, especially when you're that age and suddenly you're like, "Oh, wait, we're going to live together?" Because like their wedding was paid for. It was a really nice party. Like there was no harm, no foul in getting married. But it's tough out there when you have to like actually live with a person after you're finally free of your dead husband.
Sure.
You know, like it's tough out there where to be like, oh, we do not agree on how many bathrooms we need.
And that here's a crazy idea. Do you have to live together? If we're trying to, if we're breaking the boundary on like some married couples don't sleep in the same room. Okay.
Right.
We're breaking that. Like the Overton window of like acceptable discourse about marriage. Like we're starting to like open it up on the bedroom. Do you have to live in the same house? What if you live in the same cul-de-sac?
So your marriage advice, knows of marriage advice.
Yeah.
Would you say that would be a no or a maybe? Like people can.
If I'm 76 and my name's either Gary or Jerry, no one really knows.
Gary spelled like Jerry. Yeah.
Yeah. Then I'm someone who kind of is duplicitous. So maybe I want to be married, but not live in the same house. I think at that post like 70, you make up your own rules. Like you do what you want. Just as long as like you two are on the same page, I'm cool with it if you're cool with it.
Listen, because here's the thing I will say about sometimes when married people freak me out a little bit is I heard a married person this week on the internet talk about how they had not finished an audiobook that they had been working on for multiple weeks because they and their partner had not been in the car together to finish the book. And I was like,
No.
What are you even talking about?
No.
Is that what marriage is? That we have to like wait to finish an audiobook together?
No, see, that's interesting because that story, that's not about the audiobook, right?
Yeah.
That's about they're saying we're codependent. That's what they're saying. That's what that story's really about.
Maybe.
But
so.
Yeah, you gotta, I'm not saying like polyamory, that's not my vibe. Maybe it's yours, cool, whatever. But like with streamers and audiobooks, you gotta be a swinger, okay? You're on your own track. You finish your shows, you finish your books on your own tempo. Just communicate.
No, I like that. Listen, about this Gary Teresa breakup, I did like that Nick Vile decided he needed to make a statement about what had happened.
Oh, good. I was wondering what he thought about it.
I know you were wondering. And he is famously anti-Gary. He is not a fan of Gary. He said negative things about Gary throughout his season. And he said, now this is a direct quote, I think what shocked me the most is this wasn't just a normal breakup or an end of an engagement. This was a divorce announcement.
Oh.
I was caught off guard and surprised. How else do you think you end a marriage? You got to end a marriage with a divorce. Nick, can I just say, I would tread lightly on the advice giving to people in relationships, because although you did not marry Vanessa, the winner of your season of The Bachelor, you are engaged to be married to the mother of your child. And hang, let me check my notes real quick. Oh yeah. And your fiance could not have been a contestant on your season of The Bachelor because she was a junior in high school. Okay.
I just, the kayfabe of this is all real and it's so emotional and so like true. And then like, obviously the only thing I was curious about was I would have thought as savvier, more mature, contestants
right,
that they would have played out the windows of like, now we get to cash in this ring. Although now that I'm saying it out loud, maybe like, we don't care about money. We're boomers. We own everything anyways. This ring doesn't matter.
That's probably true. We can afford a house in any market. Like we're good.
So I rescind that point.
You know, I sent a message to people that I know who had watched that season and said, are you surprised by this? And everybody was like, no, she was the wrong choice from the beginning.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. So people were really. And then the runner-up, she made a statement and said, I dodged a bullet. So...
Okay. You know, take the high road, lady, whatever your name is. The most interesting part of the write-up I read was a little bit of insight into their wedding registry that was like on Amazon that people could access, like fans could access. And there was, I'll read off some things. You guys tell me like the thing you would want. Like if you could have it right now, what you would want.
Okay.
They asked for his and her electric toothbrushes, a Hamilton Beach retro style milkshake maker. So this is like what you get in, what is the crappy fast food restaurant that is like Freddy's, but worse?
Steak and Shake.
Thank you. That's exactly right. Thank you.
How dare you?
It is Freddy's cucked Steak and Shake. It's just what it is. It's like, that's the milkshake maker you see at Steak and Shake, but like in your home. I was like, that's
who's getting
cool.
A Hamilton Beach if we can have anyone?
That's Gary Jerry.
Right there. He's a ninja?
I guess he's wanting to date diabetes next, maybe. A pickleball set, a $300 birdhouse. It's called A Wing and a Prayer.
Listen,
that's real.
Is that one that you can see the bird like on your phone?
You better be able to talk to a bird in the phone.
Because I got my parents that. Let me tell you, boomers love talking to birds. Love talking to birds.
Birds can live in anything. Have I told you guys about the bird who tries to live in my rearview mirror or my side mirror of my car? During this recording, it will bang its beak on this window and I will go punch the window. And that's just how we banter. And then it will go try to make a nest in my car. It doesn't need a $300 birdhouse, is what I'm saying. So,
well, I definitely want the his and her toothbrushes for sure. Dental health is important. Yeah.
I guess I wanted to, I don't know. I had three ideas for like what's next for Gary Jerry, you know, because obviously he's retained.
And it's not death. And
It's not death. I think there's an interlude in between that.
Aaron, don't make that face. Don't make that face.
It was just look, a lot.
It's part of the discourse. You know, he volunteered himself. We get to evaluate him. I got three options. You guys tell me which one you think is most likely for Gary Jerry, because he remains a good looking dude. I'm just going to say that. I don't know if he's a great guy, you know, but he's a good looking gentleman. I feel like he'll have some opportunities.
Yeah.
Number one, he could be a paternal figure in a Hallmark movie. Okay.
That's a great choice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Number two, let's run it back. Golden Bachelorette. Let's run it back. Now he's a contestant. Let's do it. Let's see if we can find love the old fashioned way.
Men, you know, love as a being contestant. Part of a herd once they've been the leader.
Especially they love boomer
it.
Men.
Mm-hmm. Boomers
they
love it.
They love it.
Yep. Okay. The face of Viagra. Or like a new equivalent. You know, he's like, oh, I was God, getting it up.
Listen, I'm here for Gary in a bathtub on the beach with some faceless, like, Shutterstock woman talking about how he can still get it done.
I don't know if they had fantasy suites. If they did, just reset it there and be like, yeah, you want to know how I got it done on the Golden Bachelor? Boom, boom, whatever. This
Petey pill. Four times, Gary five times. Like, yikes.
Okay. I like that. I think that's good. Okay. Jamie, do you want to talk about the box office roundup this week?
Okay. So this weekend, I think both Knox and I, we both went to the movies this weekend. And so it was a big weekend because A24 not only had one of their kind of biggest risk films come out called Civil War. And by biggest risk, it was their largest budget ever of $50 million. I love that A24 is like, we're just collecting change in order to slowly make bigger and bigger films. We're big fans of A24, the studio here. And they added $20 million in marketing. So $70 million bet that they made, and it paid off. Number one at the box office was Civil War. It made $25 million. I've seen dialogue that like people, it's like people are like, I just don't know that I want to go see a movie about Civil War.
Fair. Like in it's terms fair point. Of,
you know, and so I think they might be surprised if they actually see it. That so I think the buzz will continue. I think it'll make back that budget. We also got in second place, Godzilla X Kong colon the New Empire. I've decided that they must be in love. Like they're a couple, right? Godzilla and Kong?
If they're a couple, that I need an XOXO. There's just an X. It leaves it. It's a, I don't know. I don't know what
but
that
to
means.
To me, it's a when it's an X, it's a collaboration. And so it feels sexual. Why would you be together if you're not sexual? Like, why would you just, you're going to be friends? That's,
I don't know.
You're not going to friend zone Kong. Like Kong can also get it done.
I don't know how Godzilla gets down, to be honest with you. So I can't speak into this.
Well, then in third place, Ghostbusters colon Frozen Empire. And then we follow up with Kung Fu Panda 4.
Right.
And Dune colon part 2. By the way, Kung Fu Panda 4 and Dune part 2 are both, you can rent now at your house and you can watch. I would say one of those is probably better than the other.
Well, Marlo gave Kung Fu Panda a thumbs up. Was pushing back, I would say, I don't know if that's earned, but from her point of view, she said thumbs up.
What has she given a thumbs down recently? Is something, is there?
Literally nothing. Literally right. Nothing.
Okay. Got it.
We're on our 58th rewatch of Liv and Maddie right now. So I just think context is important when you're talking about these critics.
Listen, you know? I didn't know that Bluey was taking a hiatus.
Yeah.
That seems sad, right?
We're going to talk about in my red light, Bluey's attempt to kill me and all other parents this Sunday morning with a knife to the emotional ball sack. But please continue.
Okay, good. And then in sixth place was the movie I saw finally at the theater, which was Monkey Man with Dev Patel. Let me just say, it's very good. The thing it's not quite a green light. Like, it's a strong, like, yellow. It's like a cyan.
It's like a yellow that's been yellow for a minute and it's about to turn green.
Like, we're on the cusp. Because the only thing I didn't love about it was, I just didn't, this is going to sound really stupid, but it felt like the fights weren't creative enough. Listen, once you've had a John Wick do the kookiest things ever, I am going to need you to do also kooky things. And so sometimes the fights were a little like, oh, well, I guess he's dead. Like,
Give me a sample of these uncreative fights we're talking about.
You get a famous, like, in a kitchen and it's just like, I grabbed a knife and then I hit you with a pot.
Yeah.
That's just boring to me. Because my green light, I saw some really creative fights. And I think that also ruined it because it was juxtaposing. But listen, Dev Patel, the script is really good. And Dev Patel is hot as ever. Hot as ever. And it does feel like it's open to sequels.
Monkey Man is.
Monkey Man. Yeah, okay. It could be a franchise. I don't know. But I really liked it.
Like, did you walk out of there thinking, I need a number two? I need a more Monkey Man.
Well,
you know, a monkeyer man, if you will.
I didn't need a monkeyer man, but yeah. I'd like a Monkey Man Takes Manhattan. You know, like, he's okay. Very hot.
Monkey Man in Manhattan, like made in Manhattan. Did you get it?
Like, Monkey Man Finds Love, like a rom-com. Okay. Like, Monkey Man finds,
J-Lo needs it. Let's get it going.
Don't do that. Tessa. I want him to find Tessa Thompson or something.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
Or Andrew Scott. I don't care. I just want some vibes. Like a Paul Mescal. Oh, that might be nice.
Okay. Planet of the Apes. The crossover. Have you still not? Is Planet of the Apes your young pope? You're just not ever going to see him, even though I'm like, they're really good. You're like, cool, cool. Got it.
No, it's because monkeys make me, because he's a monkey man. It's just Jamie,
these
a
are apes. I don't want to be that guy and correct you, but these are apes we're talking about. It's a planet of them.
Whatever genus or whatever they are, they make me very nervous because they're too close to us. And I don't like that because I feel like they're judging me even more than teenagers.
You're going to hate the premise of that movie because they do take over because they're so much like us.
I don't like that. I'm not doing that. This episode is brought to you by Pear Eyewear. I just love a reason to celebrate a niche pop culture themed holiday, don't you? Whether it's April 25th, known as the perfect date, when all you need is a light jacket. If you know, you know. Or better yet, May the 4th. I'll gladly go all in. I was trying to think of a fun way to decorate R2-D2 in honor of this most holy day of the year. And then I found out that Pear Eyewear just launched a Star Wars themed collection. Now I think I might have to celebrate by getting some new top frames for me instead, because the Force is just that strong in their newly launched Star Wars collection. You guys, I'm not even joking. These frames are so adorable. And when I saw that they had a Grogu gradient, I could not contain my excitement. They have 21 unique designs that are all perfectly niche in the most delightful way. Their interpretations of familiar Star Wars icons are like fun Easter eggs that you can easily snap onto your favorite glasses whenever you're in the mood for a change. I love that their frames are so affordable at just $25 and that changing them is so easy. Hearing that little snap when you change out your frames, so satisfying. From legendary battles to formidable icons, these epic designs are for true fans, and whether you side with the Rebels, the Dark Side, or the Mandalorian, Pear Eyewear has got you covered. One pair, infinite possibilities. Go to PearEyewear.com and use code POP for 15% off your first pair, and support the show by mentioning that the podcast sent you in your post-checkout survey. That's PearEyewear.com, code POP. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors, big, small ones, whether it's the stress that comes with planning a big event, having to redo the electrical in your entire house unexpectedly, or simply having to go on a picnic lunch when you'd rather be home pantless watching your favorite show. Stress is truly a universal experience that, if left unchecked, can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space where you can get things off your chest and work through anything that's weighing you down, big or small. I've truly noticed such a difference in my stress level since I started therapy years ago. Making it a priority and a consistent part of my routine has allowed me to relieve my stress in a very safe environment instead of bottling it all. As someone who has a hard time sitting in my feelings, it's given me the habit of reflection so I can identify and deal with stressors early on before they overwhelm me. BetterHelp is a convenient, flexible, and entirely online, making it easy to stay consistent. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/popcastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/popcastpod. This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Olive & June. As a longtime user of Olive & June, and as the chairman and co-founder of the We Don't Wear Open Toed Shoes If Our Feet Are Not Presentable Club, I don't think we talk enough about their pedi system. Listen to me now. The weather is getting warmer. I know you're going to be tempted to go out without just like even acknowledging your winter feet. Maybe need to just have a little buff, you know what I mean? And I'm going to need you to stop right now and order a pedi system immediately. Like their Manny system, Olive & June's pedi system comes with everything you need to get those feet ready and presentable without the hassle of going to a salon, including the Posy, which is this brilliant footstool that opens up and you can use it to store everything in. It also comes with a smoothing foot file and hydrating foot serum, which are both mandatory if you ever plan to be around me with your toes on display. I just love how generous they are, and they just sent us the Quick Dry Spring Collection and the Colors Gorgina. They truly have the best shades, whether you like bright colors, pastels, or neutrals. The Kitten Quick Dry is my go-to neutral shade, but if I'm in the mood for something fun, I've been reaching for Flamingo, which is this bright coral pink shade that is just perfect for spring. Just like their regular polishes, the Quick Dry are super long-lasting, and the best part is they dry in just about a minute. I'm as obsessed with the Quick Dry for doing my pedicures as I am with the Tab press-ons for my manis because they are so quick and easy and give the best results every single time. Visit oliveandjune.com/podcast for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/podcast for 20% off your first system. So the weather's getting warmer and I'm so excited to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and hello to dresses and tees. I'm so glad that I found Quince because not only can I update my wardrobe for the long haul, but I can do it without spending a fortune. Even Penthouse Jamie, she's trying to save her cash dollars in this economy. But y'all know how I value quality and I want to find timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. Now, Quince has just restocked their $40 linen wide leg pant, which I am super bummed to try. They have such a nice drape to them and they're 100% linen, which means they'll be super breathable and I'll feel like I'm wearing no pants at all, which is my preference. I'm also loving the look of the organic cotton gauze roll sleeve shirt, which is also $40. Guys, true story. Like, they have great pieces. I am obsessed with the cardigan I have and the sunglasses I have. The Leon sunglasses are dope. Their prices truly cannot be beat. All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands because they partner directly with top factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics. They cut out the cost of the middleman and pass that savings on to us. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/pop for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/pop to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/pop. Okay, so coming up this week, we have a weird array because we're in a pause season until we get like summer blockbuster movies. So yeah. It's not, there's not a lot of going on, I'll be honest. But on Hulu, we get Under the Bridge series, which is a 14-year-old disappears, really lighthearted. We get Lily Gladstone and Riley Keough who star in that. We'll see. We get Abigail, which is a horror movie. Spoiler, it's the 12-year-old ballerina daughter that's kidnapped who ends up being the whore of that. Listen, I wouldn't kidnap 12-year-olds anyway. That sounds like a mistake.
Can I just clean it up a little bit? Just please. For people who don't understand Southern accents, Jamie wasn't saying she's a whore. She was saying the horror. So you weren't calling a 12-year-old a whore, correct? Right?
No, yeah, she's not a whore. I mean, she's seen it yet.
We don't. She could be. We don't know her.
But no, it's a horror film. Horror? Right. How do you say it?
I think I say a lot like you. So it hurt my ear. Okay. So I just wanted to,
Okay. Then there's a movie. Okay. And I want Aaron to guess what this is. This is coming to theaters. It's PG-13. It's called Hard Miles. What do you think this movie is about, Aaron?
Two people go on a road trip and it is difficult.
Okay. I know Aaron's inner pervert. I'm not going to say like her three chair Aaron.
She pushed
the pervert down. It was like, just go right down the middle, Aaron.
Yeah,
vanilla.
I'm trying to keep it family friendly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hard Miles is, unfortunately, it is a white savior in Matthew Modine. He comes and he's a biking coach and he helps a bicycling team at Ridgeview Academy, a medium security correctional school in Colorado, do an impossible bike ride from Denver to the Grand Canyon. I thought Grand Canyon was like by Denver. Is it not?
I don't think it is. Like
where's
at all.
Colorado? Where is the Grand? Because I went to the Grand Canyon and we went to Arizona and then we drove like a minute. I thought we practically drove to Colorado, but I guess we didn't.
Denver is about 680 miles from the Grand Canyon.
Oh my gosh, that's so far.
It is.
God, that's pretty far. A long way.
Now, okay. This Hard Miles, especially, I think in the morning note last week, we talked about how there's also, it's not a white savior, but it's close to a white savior movie about a guy teaching a caddy how to teach kids to be caddies at a school. So. Right. Hard Miles kind of feels better compared to that from where you're
It does
me.
Feel better. And actually, I don't know if he's a white. I just know he's a white savior-esque guy. I don't know that he might be saving white kids. I don't know.
See, Ben Affleck, like he got around this.
I would say with Colorado, it feels like it's white kids, right?
Oh, I don't know. Depends on the timeline. When Ben Affleck did the movie where he's a basketball coach, it could have been a white savior, but they made him an extreme alcoholic and then just never really brought it back around. So it's like, you can't call him a white savior because he's an alcoholic. And it ended with him taking jump shots. So that's how you fix
it. I feel like white saviors will be like, I can have a problem and still be a white savior.
Actually, I'm more of a white savior because I overcame my problem
and your problems. Okay. Then we have Sasquatch Sunset, a lovely animated film that'll be in theaters, which is about a family of Sasquatches. It sounds like it's the end of the Sasquatches because the sunset part. And guess what? it is basically their they are the last of their kind. So that's a downer. Good luck with that with your kids. And then we get the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, the new Guy Ritchie film starring only hot people. God, this is a hot Henry Cavill. Great. Isa Gonzalez. Isa, listen, if Isa Gonzalez is in your film, she is there to look at. Like, she is a stunner.
Yeah.
We get Henry Golding, gorgeous. Alex Pettifer. It's been a long time, Alex. Where you been?
Okay, I gotta be honest. If I'm his representation, yeah, when he breaks into Hollywood, I'm like, hey man, you got the look, you got the frame, you've got the skills. We got to work on this last name. Okay, it is just Pettifer? It's too close. It's too close.
Pettifer?
It's too close to things we don't want queued up when we say your name. So let's just go like Alex Cruz, you know, in the way. Is that Tom's?
That's right.
I don't know, but it's unclear.
Well, we're also getting Rebel Moon Part 2, colon The Scargiver. It's on Netflix. If you missed Part 1, you didn't miss anything. That's 21% on Rotten Tomatoes. So I don't know that we needed a Part 2, but I guess they had already filmed it. And so they're like, we must show it to you. And then we get The Spiderwick Chronicles Season 1, a new reboot of the famous fantasy series, book series. And this one's starring Christian Slater, which I kind of like that vibe. And then we're getting, we're getting my favorite microgenre of television series. We get two this week. It is called The Washed Up White Men with a GPS. I love these series. Stanley Tucci, Phil Rosenthal, Eugene Levy. We had the junior edition with Zac Efron where he discovered water. Do you remember that, Aaron?
Oh yeah, I absolutely do.
And so this week we get two. We get Orlando Bloom, colon, To the Edge. So they're just going to throw him out of planes. That feels like Katy Perry is trying to kill him because he can't get work. And so she's like, maybe you should do all these dangerous things and be gone for a long time. And then we get Conan O'Brien Must Go. We already had Conan Without Borders.
Yeah.
This is the one that I'd be interested in because I like Conan. I watched his Hot Ones. It's probably a top 10 Hot Ones of all time.
Is that why he was on Hot Ones, to promote whatever he's doing?
Yes, to promote this. So this will be on Max. But again, can I just say to all the people who keep greenlighting these white men that can't get jobs in their preferred field, and so we put them in a boat, a plane, a car, whatever we do. Can we just get back Samantha Brown? I just want Samantha Brown. I know she's working because she's over on TikTok. I follow her. Can we just get back to people telling us really how to travel rather than Stanley Tucci being like, you should go to this restaurant that no one can afford. It's $800 a person, but the wine it'll change your life.
There's an Anthony Bourdain-sized hole in the world, and they're just trying to fill it with other people.
I know. It's tough.
Now, let me ask this, because Sasquatch Sunset, that is like live action, right?
Oh, is it?
It's live action.
No.
And I know that because I've read that this is such a disgusting movie that people are like leaving, running out. They have like EMTs on hand because there's so much like Sasquatch humping. I'm sorry. I don't know how else to put it. There's defecation.
Oh, it is rated R. Oh my gosh. It is rated R.
They're like, it is excruciatingly disgusting. And Jesse Eisenberg is one of the Sasquatches. So I don't know.
Riley Keogh. Riley, what are we doing? What are we doing?
Are Barry Keogh and Riley Keogh related at all? They should be.
Oh, I can't. Well, Riley Keogh, maybe her dad.
They're brother and sister now to me. I've just made that official.
Okay, they're brother and sister. We did it. Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know what Jesse Eisenberg's doing here. I don't know if there's a Now You See Me.
My bad. I'm sorry. Don't let your kids watch this. This is a mistake.
Yeah.
Is Jesse Eisenberg in a Sasquatch suit?
The homie is a Sasquatch the whole time, and he's having sex and pooping. Like, and you're not zooming out, you're zooming
pooping.
In. Yeah, yeah.
Well, Sasquatches poop. That's just...
I know, but like, movies about Sasquatches don't like zoom in on the beehole while it's pooping, which allegedly that's what this does. Just like a lot of body fluid from the Sasquatches.
I don't like that. Okay, I'm out on that. I'll watch Orlando Bloom To the Edge, because I bet that doesn't have pooping in it.
Aaron, do you have anything you want to say about O.J. Simpson's passing? I know it was like an important figure in your life.
You didn't know
Aaron!
He died? What?
Breaking news,
days
later.
When did he die?
He died last week! What happened? He died of cancer.
Well,
I didn't mean to put you on the spot, Aaron. I thought you had five, 6 days to process.
I'm sorry. Did I hear you humming, Karma is my boyfriend?
I mean...
Check back in next week, where Aaron's going to have a full 12 days and she'll have some thoughts on the O.J. Simpson.
Listen, the executor of his estate made a statement to the press that said, Ron Goldman's family will get not one penny of this. They're owed $100 million from that civil suit that O.J. Simpson lost. Good riddance.
Do you guys remember where you were when the verdict was read?
Yeah.
Yes. I was in sixth grade choir.
Oh, you're so much younger than me. I was a freshman in college. I was in the dorm, and I was like, "What's happening? This can't be good. This was complex."
I remember I was in seventh grade, and they, you know, on like the hallway TVs where they do like the news, they were playing it live, and I remember everyone going nuts. Really? And I was like, "I'm not read up enough to know how to feel about this." I'm happy that some people are happy. And
is that when
some
you knew
sad?
You were in Enneagram 5? When you're like, I haven't read up enough on this to know how to feel about it.
I just got
to
get into this Ito guy and like know what his vibe is and like what he's about.
Wow.
So, okay. Let's go now to Trailer Park, because we got obviously CinemaCon happened recently. So we got a lot of good news and footage. We really just want to focus our attentions on two trailers in particular that were undisclosed recently. The first one is a movie called Fly Me to the Moon. This is going to be, it's an Apple production. It is going to be in theaters, though. It stars Channing Tatum and Scarlett Johansson. Jamie, what were your expectations going into this trailer? And then what did you think after you saw it?
So this was delivered to me in my FYP on TikTok. And it was cute because it was Scarlett Johansson and Channing Tatum as themselves, like counting down to show the trailer. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so excited. But I did not know they were going to be in a movie together. And so this is set during the 1960s space race between the U.S. and the Soviet Union. And then this relationship, the director in charge of the Apollo 11 launch, which is Channing Tatum. Love that. Love it.
The biggest suspension of disbelief is that he is anywhere at NASA. Like,
you
allowed
mean set
to
set it up, Channing Tatum? Come on. And then the marketing specialist that's brought in to fix NASA's public image, which is Scarlett Johansson, and also stage a, quote, backup fake moon landing in case they don't land on the moon, which I really love. And so this is coming out in July. Look, the trailer looked like, at first I was like, oh no, it gave me, when it first started, it gave me Ashton Kutcher, Reese Witherspoon vibes. But by the end I was like, save the date, off work, PTO, gotta see this, want to see it so bad. Scarlett Johansson, God, I've turned all the way around on her. Like, it to me, she is a season pass. Like, when I see her in anything, but I also, we haven't gotten her in like a fun rom-com in a really long time. Plus, I saw that Chris Evans was supposed to be this part. And
oh, interesting. That works a little bit better, I think.
So it was supposed to be Chris Evans with Jason Bateman directing.
Okay.
And then Jason Bateman left over, quote, creative differences, because he probably wanted to make it sad and about money laundering. And so they brought in Greg Berlanti. Berlanti?
I kind of like Berlanti. That's more fun in your
Greg opinion. Berlanti, and who has done like everything. Riverdale, Dawson's Creek. Like, he's done any show you've seen on the CW, he made it. And he was brought in. But when he was brought in, Chris Evans, to accommodate Greg's schedule, they couldn't accommodate Chris Evans anymore. Isn't that funny that Greg got accommodated more than Chris Evans? Because Chris Evans, you ain't been anything good.
I was going to say, it's a commentary on the surplus of handsome white gentlemen in Hollywood and not the directors that could run this. This felt like Wes Anderson vibes, but with action, right?
It did.
Lower the quirk, raise the action, which is interesting. I was really interested in like the backup plan of, you know, like the Jim Rash, the Francis Ford Coppola, like, we're going to shoot this in case we don't get it. I think the only issue I had was, again, I can't stress enough how much it takes you out of the trailer that we're supposed to believe Channing Tatum is in charge of billions of dollars and science and he's smart. It's just not real. That's just not a feasible thing I can understand or buy. He's also dressed like William Shatner on a Star Trek episode for some unknown reason. I don't
get it. That's what they look like.
They definitely do. I don't know like why they also, the Russian leader that they show, it's like at 1:23 in the trailer. I don't know if that's like Brezhnev or Khrushchev. I don't know who it is, but he has like AI face. He has like severe AI face. And I don't know why they let that in the trailer.
Listen, I think that's our future, is that they're like, we have a vague, we don't want to incite any chaos. And so here is this AI face that you can enjoy.
You mentioned ScarJo. I'm with you. When she shows up, I love it. I'm like, great. This is fantastic.
Yeah.
I did see that coming down the pike for her is this. She's been attached to, rumored about the Jurassic Park reboot. She's also, let me just make it even better for you, Jamie. She's one of the voices in the Transformers reboot.
Is that the one with the G.I. Joe crossover?
Oh my God, I hope so.
God, I hate men. They ruin everything. They're ruining ScarJo. God, I'm so mad.
now I'm forced in the situation where I like, do I want a G.I. Joe crossover to Jurassic Park? Because that'd be freaking amazing. Or Transformers. I don't know. I'll get back to you on that. I don't, maybe she has a gambling problem. Maybe she has a coke problem. I don't know why she's doing these things. Maybe Colin Jost has those things. Maybe he's trying to pay for that thing in
he bought that boat with Pete
Davidson. Seems like he's doing great recently. LOL. Yeah. Not LOL. Ooh. That not a fun LOL. Just like looks sarcasm sad, font.
Like, lol.
Yeah. Maybe I'll edit that. I don't know. Who knows? This made me sad because I was like, this is the kind of stuff I want to see her in. And then she's live your life. Maybe she's trying to start a family or something. I don't know. She's making her choices.
They got three kids. Like,
do they really? I had no idea.
Well, she has that kid with that husband that wasn't Ryan Reynolds. And then she's got at least one, like Cosmo, right? Does Aaron look up Scarlett Johansson's children?
The guy in Shogun, who is like the British Avatar, his name's Cosmo. And I always want to call him Cosmo Kramer.
Cosmo Jarvis?
That's
Cosmo
it. Yeah.
Listen,
yeah.
Shogun, that's... You greenlit that. That show is fantastic.
It's an elite television show.
It is like next level good. Like it's so good. If somebody DM'd us and was like, hey, do they kill a baby in this? I'm like, yeah, they do.
Yeah, they do off screen. Okay. They also kill people with cannonballs. What do you want? Okay. Be an adult. God.
Oh. Aaron, tell us about Scarlett's kids.
Okay. She has two kids.
Oh, okay.
She has a daughter with Roman Dariak.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she has a son with Colin Jost.
Yeah. I think his name is Colin.
I did not know that either. I got to be honest.
I do not know what their name. Okay. Rose is the girl's name and Cosmo is the... First of all, the way that they announced this was Colin Jost put up an Instagram post that says, okay, we had a baby. His name is Cosmo. We love him very much. And that's it.
Good.
It's basically
I like it.
A notes app announcement.
Yeah, yeah. That's essentially what it was.
Yeah.
Minimize it. Every spring, I'm reminded that there's nothing like a fresh start in spring cleaning. This year, we're taking things one step further with our spring refresh at the McCoy House. Sure, it's been a lot of work to get here, but we're all so excited to settle into our new space. If you've ever moved before, you know there's nothing like the first night in a new room and the difference that soft, breathable, all-new bedding can make. Bowl and Branch's signature sheets are the perfect way to start upgrading your sleep and are designed to feel incredible for all sleepers. They're made with the finest 100% organic cotton and feel incredible on night one, yet they still get softer with every single wash. Bowl and Branch very kindly sent us a code to try out their sheets, and by I mean my wife Ashley, picked the signature hemmed sheet set in cream. We both were so impressed that the quality and softness were so good and so nice. They were super breathable, which I'm also thankful for with summer just around the corner. Sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Bowl and Branch. Go to bowlandbranch.com/podcast for 15% off your first sheet set plus free shipping. That's Bowl and Branch, B-O-L-L-A-N-D, branch.com/podcast for 15% off. Exclusions apply. See site for details. If you've ever felt overwhelmed while trying to find the perfect gift for someone special in your life, then please take a knee. I'm here to put an end to your search. Songfinch lets you create an original radio quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. Here at the PMG, we want to put them to the test. Could they really create a song about anyone? Well, we'll let you all be the judge.
I am Pickles, the legless horse, but not legless for long. With all my friends by my side, I will find who the culprit was. Who stole my legs? Who stole my legs?
I don't know. I kind of feel like this needs to be our new intro song. You know, artist went above and beyond, and it was so fun to see what he came up with. He even took the time to ask us for more detail because he wanted to make sure he got the essence of Pickles correct. It was such a fun process. Whether your song is for Father's Day, an upcoming graduation, wedding or anniversary, or even just a gift to show your loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in one of Songfinch's top artists. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free so you and the lucky person you gifted to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/podcast and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value. Again, our URL is songfinch.com/podcast. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/podcast.
Shrink the Books is back for a brand new season. This is the podcast where we put our favorite fictional TV characters into therapy. Join me, Ben Bailey-Smith, and our brand new psychotherapist, Namon Metaxas.
Hi, Ben. Yes, this season we're going to be putting the likes of Tommy from Peaky Blinders, Cersei from Game of Thrones on the couch to learn why their behavior creates so much drama.
So make sure you press the follow button to get new episodes as soon as they land on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts. Shrink the Books is a Sony Music Entertainment original podcast.
Did you look at Channing Tatum's upcoming movies that he is?
Okay, because he's doing that P word island, right?
Okay, but interesting. They renamed it. They did. It's called Soundtrack of Silence. Definitely not.
That's a different, that is a very different title.
I know, because no, shit, I messed this up.
Okay. You got lost
it's
in that IMDb. Okay.
It's not okay. Sound of Silence. Dang it, you idiot. It's I'm such an idiot. It's called Blink Twice, which is not much better. Okay.
No, that's actually, that sounds like a horror film.
I know. But I was stunned too, because I was like, wait, where is P Word Island? But it's been renamed Blink Twice, directed by Zoe Kravitz.
Yeah.
Unless she's directing a second.
And they're
movie
together. They're a couple in real life. They've been together for
that's
years.
That's right. That's right. He plays a tech entrepreneur named Slater King, which is that's just great.
Oh, that's a name. Good name.
It's good stuff. Okay. But that's coming. He's also got the Soundtrack of Silence. Here's a slug line. A college student who learns he's going deaf attempts to memorize his favorite songs with hopes of remembering important moments in his life. It's going to be a pass for me.
Wait, is he the college student? He's 40.
He's the only person in this. He's the only like attached actor right now. So I'm assuming, unless he's like the artist.
Channing Tatum's 43. You
can't. Could Channing Tatum, I mean, 23 Jump Street, if they do it and he's in college, I'll buy it.
I would buy that, but it would be the comedy of it all. You can't be like, plus, nobody thinks Channing can memorize songs while he's going deaf.
What if he's like, I'm 40 and I'm going back to college to finish my degree. Oh, no, I'm deaf and I need to memorize these songs. I feel bad.
Is that how people react to finding out they're going deaf? Oh, no, I'm
deaf. Oh, farts. I think I'm going deaf.
Good Lord.
He's also in a movie called Wingmen. The story follows two pilots who crash land in Las Vegas, directed by Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Wait, and acting with Joseph Gordon.
Crash land in Las Vegas. That's a very populated area. What would
also
be the big deal?
Crash land is like hyphenated, which, so I don't know if they're, and let me just like really ruin your faith in humanity. It's a musical. So.
Absolutely not.
I'm kind of into it.
No, of course she is. Look at her wake
Aaron's
up.
All the way back around.
Good Lord.
All the way back around. And then lastly, Calamity Hustle. This is the story of a former Los Angeles detective turned undercover detective who, after being shaken down by a crime lord, must track down his brother, who's responsible for disrupting a diamond heist, starring Channing Tatum, starring Ryan Reynolds as the brother.
Okay. Is his name Calamity Russell?
It's Calamity Hustle, but
Hustle.
I don't.
Oh, is
it'd be great if it was.
God, I would love it.
It'd be great if it was. So, yeah, it feels like Channing Tatum's in a better place than Scarlett Johansson creatively. I do feel like he's taking some time off, though. You know, so the buildup now has been.
Well, he's had to help Zoe recover from her buccal fat removal. So he's had to help her, get her jawline tight.
Your buccal fat, your choice. You know, that's what we always say here.
That's right. That is what we say.
Next trailer, Joker : voila et du.
No, absolutely not. Aaron,
I don't
you just
know.
Went to France. Can you pronounce the name of the next Joker movie?
No.
You did. What's the language app you used? Duolingo?
Duolingo.
Yeah.
Hold on, I gotta look at it. No, I can't.
Come on.
Folie à deux.
Okay, I believe it.
Okay,
I believe it.
You. It's Joker : I did actually look this up and try to memorize it. It's folie à deux.
Folie à deux.
Which in French translates to folly of two, which is when two people have a shared delusion, which I feel like is the podcast. Folie à deux. So this is a psychological thriller. It's directed by Todd Phillips, who did the original Joker with Joaquin Phoenix in 2019. It's a sequel. It's loosely based on the characters. Joaquin Phoenix is back. And then we get Lady Gaga playing his love interest, Harley Quinn. Zazie Beetz is also back as a hot neighbor who appears occasionally. Everybody thought that Joker was a standalone. And then Todd Phillips was like, I could make a sequel. Like, let me make a sequel.
I got a B-side to this. Let's go.
Let's do it. And so I will say this. The trailer, very much I was like, oh, I'm going to love this. Like, I'm going to love every bit of this. The longer the trailer went on, the more. And then that end scene. Listen, that's one of the best formatted moments in a movie ever is when she puts that lipstick on the glass and then he leans in. I was like, oh my God, I love this. This is
it's
so
fine.
Well
I've seen people overreacting like this is like Citizen Kane
no,
of our time.
It.
It's like,
it
okay,
Citizen
let's raise
I
our bar
it's better
creatively.
Than Citizen Kane. But I will say, I do think that they have made a mistake in this trailer.
Why?
Because they are burying the lead that no one is talking about this stupid film. And now I'm completely out. But Aaron's going to be all the way back in because it has 15 musical numbers.
15's a lot
That's
of musical
too
numbers.
Too many for a movie ever. But much less, why can't it just be a normal film? Why do we have to Wonka it? Why do we have to Wonka it?
I definitely don't think they're going to Wonka it. There's not going to be an I'm sorry noodle in this, okay? Like this is a very different vibe. the first movie it was such a great movie that I never wanted to see or think about again. No. Ever. This feels like the same. It feels like Todd Phillips, which is strange, like the guy who did The Hangovers is a really incredible filmmaker. I just wish this wasn't what he chose to do a story about. I think it's going to be great. It's going to be technically amazing and super creative. I just don't like, I saw La La Land and I saw A Star Is Born. I don't need like the psycho version or the horrific version of those. I'm good with like what I got. You know what I mean?
I know. My concern is that this is going to be, and here's the thing. They say that of the 15 musical numbers, that there's only two original songs. Does this mean that I'm going to have to listen to Lady Gaga cover Celine Dion while playing Harley Quinn? I don't know that I want that. I don't know that anybody wants that.
See, the Lady Gaga is not the problem. The Joaquin Phoenix covering like Creed's Higher, that's going to be the bigger issue for me. You know? Which if that's a cover, I'm back in, baby. All the way in. Let's go.
Listen, if there's at least two Nickelbacks, listen, if there's a chaos about the covers, but that's the thing is it's not me. It's going to be like, no, we're singing That's Entertainment. Let's go. Like, God.
Yeah, I'm excited that this is original. I mean, it's IP, but it's like a really original take on it. But I'm also like, I just don't need more Joker. I think I'm good with Jokers, you know?
Yeah, so this comes out October 4th in the theaters. And listen, I'll see it. Because listen, I do think I want good things for Lady Gaga. Like, I just have always wanted good things for Lady Gaga. But I don't really want her to be an actress, I'll be honest. So I kind of want this to flop so that she'll be like, you know what? I should make an album.
Does it feel like she's like, no, I'm not. I'm an actress. I'm not a singer anymore.
It does a lot. Yeah. And my concern is that, like, Dua Lipa has been showing up in movies. And I'm like, no, we don't need that. We'd like music. Now, to be fair, Dua Lipa has an album coming out, I think in 2 weeks. And because this week is Taylor week. And then I think Dua Lipa either the next week or the next. And listen, she's had three singles. Can I be honest? They all sounded the same. Houdini doesn't sound any different than Illusion. Girl,
isn't that her music? Like, it's all kind of the same.
How dare you? She has sometimes nuance.
Yeah.
Like, on the last album, she had a little bit of nuance. This
For sure.
is just like, and I know the Dua Lipa heads, whatever, Dua Lip Kits. I don't know what you're called, but
Dua Lipids. Yeah.
Dua Lipids.
Yeah.
Listen, I know that you're going to tell me that those songs are very different because of the percussion, but they're not different. Like, they're not different. She's just in tights and a leotard, shaking her hips a little bit.
If you are approaching me on the street trying to have a conversation about Dua Lipa's music and you want to talk about the percussion, I'm just like, I'm shoving you into traffic. I'm sorry. I am. That's just how that's going to go.
It's tough.
You know? Okay. Well, that is our conversation on The More You Know.
The more you know.
As always, if you have thoughts and opinions on our thoughts and opinions, please let us know, knoxandjamie.com/552. All right, Jamie, you want to do some lights?
Let's do some lights.
All right, what is your red light this week?
Oh, this is my favorite red light in a very long time. I cannot wait to dump on this. Okay, so I don't know if you heard, Knox, but we have a new celebrity TV show recap podcast. Are you excited about this one?
Okay,
good. It's called This Was Us. This was us.
Oh, no.
I feel like one of us predicted this.
No, I think it was you. And
I don't
so,
know that, oh, my gosh.
Here's the worst part. Oh, you're not even prepared for the worst part. So, of course, this is a rewatch podcast of the TV show This Is Us that went off the air 10 minutes ago. Okay. And it is the podcast stars Mandy Moore, Chris Sullivan, and Sterling
No.
K.
No.
Okay, if anyone from Sterling K. Brown's camp is listening, he just was nominated for an Oscar. What are you doing? I'm so mad about
this. Okay, so mad. Is this like that thing where they're like, the series is directed by Martin Scorsese or Adam McKay, and they just did the pilot, and then they never like talked to anyone else again.
No, there are reels of them on their This Was Us Instagram account where they're like, we're all in a room together. First of all, why is Chris Sullivan? Is he supposed to be the comedy? Is that why he's here? Why is he even here? I get that Justin Hartley can't be here because he's on that TV show on ABC.
Tracker. You put some respect on Tracker's name.
Tracker. That's right. And then, but where's Chrissy Metz? Why can't it be Chrissy Metz? Or like, I don't know. I know the dad died in real life, but no matter. It just, Milo. Where's Milo? I know, yeah, I always call him Milo, but I think it's Milo.
Oh, where's God. Milo? Now you did it. I think I changed it. And now I'm, oh, man.
I know. But anyway, so six seasons. This is my favorite part. It said, for six seasons and 106 episodes, Tuesdays brought us together with tissues in one hand and pantry wine in the other.
I don't like tissues in one hand.
Why? Yeah. Because we see ourselves. No, Aaron, we see ourselves Gross. In the fabric of their lives, like cotton. We may or may not.
That's not real.
But it is weird that they said fabric of our lives, that's cotton. We may or may not have cried at least once every episode. But let's just say our tears served as emotional catharsis. Gross. Anyway, so then my favorite part was they're like, this isn't just a recap podcast. This will also include personal reflections related to many issues that we all face, like coping, motherhood, and death of a parent.
Oh.
So that's coming down the pike. That starts May 14th. If anyone is listening to this right now and you listen to that, you're dead to me.
Okay, here's the only thing I can make sense of. Like, because this is like with NBC. So like this is through NBC. The only thing I can think is maybe Sterling K. Brown has an overall deal with like Paramount or NBC or whatever, like whoever owns them, I guess Peacock. Yeah. And like this is one of his ways to get out of that. So he can be done with like an overall that he signed before he was like super Oscar nominated guy.
Maybe. Like that's my only hope. I'm just so mad that like this is announced like 10 minutes ago and they already have as many followers as we do on Instagram. It's very mad.
Well, none of us look like Sterling K. Brown. So,
and by the way, I'm going to look at that list of who's following them. And if any of my mutuals are following you, I'm going to block you. You're dead to me.
I really.
Why can't people just get work? Why can't people just go to work and get jobs? I don't understand.
I think I'm more offended by the font they used in the logo and the logo art choice that they.
I don't know why the us is italicized.
I don't either.
Like, I don't understand.
Jamie
that.
Hates an
I
italic.
Hate italic.
Just so everyone knows, if you are trying to get her on board with something, don't put an M or effing italic on there.
If it Jamie is elected president of the United States and we're under nuclear attack and the document on how to activate the nukes is in italics,
I'd send it back. I'd send
she's
it back.
Gonna spend 5 minutes like highlighting and changing.
She's gonna be like, this is
how
egregious.
Dare you. Italics are lazy. It's, say better words yeah. instead of just italicizing them.
We may get nuked to death, but we'll have our dignity because we didn't use italics. Absurd. I hate that. I hate that red light so much. I'm so disappointed.
You're
now.
Welcome. I'm glad I got to announce it to all of you. Okay, what's your red light, Knox?
My red light, I alluded to earlier. It's Bluey. Sometimes they'll, you know, do an episode drop. And they came back this week with the difference is like they do like 7-8 minute episodes.
Right.
This week, this Sunday, I think it was Sunday, they dropped a 30-minute mega episode, which is a departure. It's a big deal because, you know, Bluey, the craft is in how they pack so much storytelling in 7 or 8 minutes. So now we got 30 minutes. I was like, okay, I wonder if they're going to get a little sloppy, you know, having to play like the rest of people do. But they didn't. It was incredible. It was heartwarming. It's essentially, it's called The Sign, and Bandit and Chili are considering a move out of town for the better. It's a better work opportunity, more money. They can give their kids a better life. And then they are reminded of all the people in our community, and they're reminded of like not knowing what to do, what choice to make. And I would say hijinks ensue, and they kind of do. But I'm red lighting it. It was great. So it's not that it's bad. It's just, why are you coming at my neck on a Sunday morning? You know, like, why are you trying to like muck it up tearfully with the parents? And I think like this and like Forks from the Bear season 2, it's the best like 2 half-hour things I've seen in the last year. It's just so good. It's incredible. What is your green light this week, Jane?
Okay, my green light this week, and this is so fun. This is the rare green light that Aaron has also watched, and it's something brand new.
It is
the weirdest Venn diagram ever. So my green light this week is the TV show Fallout. It is a post-apocalyptic drama. It's directed by, it was created by Graham Wagner and Geneva Robertson-Dorrit for Amazon. It's based on the 27-year and running role-playing video game franchise created by Tim Kaine. So I was interested in this because the trailers, and I had a lot of it served to me on TikTok, and then the reviews started rolling in, and people were saying, because normally with a video game adaptation, I'm nervous because I'm like, I'm not going to get all the goodness because I've never played. The only thing that I knew about Fallout is I had one time somebody had placed a cake pop order for Fallout. And so I knew like the little blonde guy and I knew Nuka-Cola because I had made those things, but I didn't know anything about the universe that it set in. So I was worried that this wouldn't be for me. But Walton Goggins in a cowboy hat.
Season
on
pass, man.
Always.
What
for us.
Are
well,
you talking about?
In a cowboy hat. Doesn't have a nose, but the cowboy hat.
No, but he's he looks, he has a nose some of the time.
So, mm-hmm.
So that's what's super fun. So this depicts the aftermath of the Great War of 2077, which is a cool, easy breezy apocalyptic nuclear exchange in an alternate history of Earth, where advances in nuclear technology after World War II lead to the emergence of a retro-futuristic society and a resource war that follows. And many survivors take refuge in these fallout bunkers, hence the name Fallout, known as vaults. And more than 200 years later, we pick back up in 2296, where a young woman named Lucy is in her vault and hijinks ensue. Where she has to leave her vault. And that's not a spoiler. It happens very quickly. And so, Aaron, you watched this with who?
I watched this with Ben Moon and Katie Moon Dickerson, my sister-in-law.
And they are big fans of the video game.
Yes. Actually, the Fallout cake pops that you made were for Katie Moon.
Oh my gosh. That's right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
And they are huge Fallout fans. So they were super excited about this. And they were just dying during the pilot because everything was so true to the game. The world was so just immersive. They loved it. But for someone who had never played, I was like, I do not want to watch it with these nerds. But
yeah,
it was it's so great. It's so much fun.
It's this unexpected whimsy.
Yeah.
Because if you like The Last of Us is like sad and then it gets sadder. And then it's still sad. But I loved it. But this has like, just the universe is very colorful and very fun and like chaotic. Now, Shigori.
It's extremely violent.
She's very violent.
I was
going
to say, it's like whimsy violence. Right?
Yeah. Well, violently whimsical.
Listen, this
it's like
is
if
the fight.
Etsy was a dystopia.
I know. This is the fights where I was like, man, he's still alive. Look, he's back. Like, that blender went through his face. Like, what happened?
When somebody from Lost gets something shot off, I was like, whoa, there's some gristle there
That's right. Yeah. So I love this. Listen, Ella Purnell, who plays Lucy, she is a delight. Like, her eyes are so big. I love them so much. She does so much acting through them. Aaron Moten, who plays Maximus, the whole time I've been like, where have you been?
He's great.
Where have you been? You are amazing.
See, weirdly, the Maximus, because I've only seen two episodes. So I don't know how many you guys have seen. The Maximus, and I don't know if this is part of the game, that falls off for me. I don't like that part as much. It loses me.
I think you'll get there.
I think you'll get there. Because this is definitely, Aaron was saying when we were talking about this before we recorded, she was like, oh, it feels like, what were the two universes you said?
To me, it feels like there's a Lost component here. There's also a Walking Dead component here. Yes. Like it's filling a very, like it's filling a Lost void for me.
No.
Just because of like the different groups and you don't know what's happening and there's all this mysterious stuff going on and you're trying to like, I don't want to say fill holes, but you're filling holes, you know, that kind of a thing. Yeah. So it's just, I don't know. There's just, it's so good.
So good. So this, and for somebody who didn't know anything that was going on, I did not feel like I was missing out on like all these secrets that other people knew or that there were all these things that were unspoken. So my understanding is that people who love the video game, love the adaptation, people who have never played the game, like me, like Aaron, we also really love the adaptation, but again, very bloody,
very bloody. Don't forget, Rico from Hannah Montana is like the main girl's brother.
Right. Oh my gosh, that is him.
That's right.
Yeah.
I could not figure out where he was.
So I was like, I know this guy. I got to look him up. Why do I know him? And it was like, oh, that's Rico.
Oh, he's so great too.
Yeah.
And Kyle MacLachlan.
Yeah, that I saw the first two, loved it. And now it's going to be my weekly watch, you know, even though I know they're already out. So good stuff there. My green light this week is the movie Civil War. I saw it Friday. I was so excited to see it. I think, you know, I've seen stuff online that says like, I think people go in seeing, expecting one movie and they get maybe a little disappointed because it's a different kind of movie. If you're familiar with Alex Garland, it's the movie you think it's going to be. If you're not, and you think it's going to be like a, I don't know, some kind of like action, G.I. Joe combat all-star thing, that's definitely not it. It really is. It's a fixation on, you know, what happens when our political discourse collapses. And sometimes that's like really cool action set pieces. Sometimes it's more nuanced storytelling, but it's told through the lens of Kirsten Dunst's character and Wagner Moura. They're both journalists of different sorts. And then they take on a younger up-and-coming journalist, Kaylee Spanny. The really interesting part was I was reminded that Alex Garland took a lot of the people who were involved in Devs, a show on Hulu that was really good. I think I greenlit it and just brought them here too. Nick Offerman included, Kaylee Spanny, a couple other people I'm forgetting right now. But it's kind of a action drama road story. Jesse Plemons shows up. He has a great scene. I love when spouses in real life act opposite each other. He gets act opposite Kirsten Dunst. I think the real big story is Kirsten Dunst is amazing in this. She's so good. She's a perfect casting choice. And I just think if you're weary of like news right now, I don't know that this is gonna make you feel better, but it's not gonna make you feel worse because it's a different kind of story. But I also think it's a great kind of flashlight on there are more subtle, nuanced stories that are happening here that aren't just big, shouty from the White House or from the Senate or whatever your local municipality. And I think it's worth seeing in that regard. Also, it's just really well done. The way Alex Garland uses the idea of photographers taking war photos and works that into the actual storytelling is visually stunning, but highly recommend it. That's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. And before you go, remember anytime you do shopping on Amazon, make sure to go to amazon.com/shop/epodcast first. So purchase our affiliate link. If you ever add and purchase using that link this week was, Jamie, this is a pack of Sharpie gel pens. This is my preferred pen.
Is this your preferred pen? So these are great pens at 4.6 stars with 37,000 ratings. Okay, two types of questions showed up. My first genre of questions that I love is the pretentious pen questioner. So we have the first question, is the ink indelible? What's wrong with you? Second question, why is a blue fine point so difficult to procure? This is Amazon. You're in the Q&A of Amazon, my friend. All right, you guys, don't forget that our digital shop is open right now. You can head to knoxandjamie.com/shop and snag a bunch of digital things. If you're like, this is not enough content, I need more content, well, you can get it. I'm Jamie Golden. You can find me on the internet at Jamie B. Golden.
I'm Knox McCoy. You can find me on the socials at Knox McCoy. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.